I've found it's been changing the nature of even who I am, and my understanding of who I am, and my understanding of who Christ is in me. And my understanding of who Christ is, and definitely changed my understanding of who the Father is. Because as I began to see grace, I began to realize that grace wasn't just emanating out of Jesus, but it actually originated with the Father. And as we studied this out, that was the first time that thought had ever occurred to me. That grace wasn't just a manifestation of Jesus, but a manifestation of the Father. Which makes a big difference. Because see, that makes a difference as the intent and thought of everything that's happened. And now I can begin to see the sequence of events unraveling differently than I did before. One of the things I recognize is that in order for you to grasp some of the things about grace that we're talking about, you need to be able to grasp the kind of prayer that brought it forth. Because see, as we grasp the kind of prayer, that contending prayer, that place of acknowledging the Father that LaRue has talked about with you guys, as we acknowledge the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as we understand about acknowledging those things, we can begin to grasp how everything else is affected in our life. So I wanted to share, because there were lots of things in it, but I want today to be a little interactive. If you'll turn to Luke 11, verse 52. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. I'm here to tell you this. When we get through today, you'll know how to enter in. When we get through today, you're going to understand how to enter in. Now it's up to you to decide, am I going to enter in, and am I going to actually do what it takes to do this? Because see, that's the whole point of our Christian walk, to come to a place where we can enter in, where we enter into His understanding, the understanding of who He is, where we enter into this place of refuge and rest in Him. And it's available to where we enter into a walk in Christianity that's not limited by the natural, but exponentially increased by the supernatural. That's the point of entering in. Recently, someone asked me how to grow in the Spirit. How could they grow in the Spirit? I want to learn how to grow in the Spirit. Well, this is probably one of the primary ways that I've seen. One of the most effective ways. To enter into His presence by the acknowledging of who He is. You'll turn to Philemon 1, verse 6. See, it says, our faith is made effective by the acknowledging of every good thing within us in Christ Jesus. It's not just acknowledging every good thing within us. That could be acknowledging our own pride. It's acknowledging every good thing within us in Christ Jesus. The communication of our faith is made effectual, is the way that it says it in NAS. The communication of our faith is made effectual. In other words, my faith and how it is related from me to the rest of the world is made effective by this acknowledgement. It begins to change how I can relate my faith, because now my faith has changed in its nature and its substance. See, what we have here, when we begin to acknowledge God and who He is, and we begin to step into this prayer of acknowledgement, what we have here is a tool for transformation. Because see, as we begin to see God, as we begin to see Him and to see His glory, we're transformed by that same glory that we're looking at. The closer that we draw to God, the more natural it is for those things that are, that character that is about Him to become our character. Not just in the integrity of it, but in the understanding of it. As we step in and see His glory, like Moses, His glory begins to reside on us. And it's not something that you even have to be conscious of. It just does it. It's interactive. Because the world needs the character of Christ to be in our life. Because if we don't have it, who's got it? They don't need us. They need Christ. In order for their life to be changed, they need Christ. The thing that changed my life, probably more than anything, was when I began to interface with the prophetic word and interface with prophetic people. I didn't know such a thing existed. But when it happened, when it became apparent to me, it changed how I began to perceive the world around me. It's a tool for transformation, not just of ourselves, but it changes how we relate to God. It changes how we see God, how we interface with God. What we're talking about here is beginning to encounter Him by His Word. I'm going to describe the process to you in a few minutes. I just want to get you to where we're all on the same page as to why we do this. Because if we understand why we do this, then it becomes self-apparent, the need for doing it. It takes us further into His presence than anything else I've yet discovered. There are many, many teachings and many disciplines within Christ, within the body. Fasting, for example, will bring certain results within you. Why? Because you're pushing down the flesh. You're pushing down the flesh for a period of time, and that allows you to hear and receive the voice of God in a different way, in a clearer way. But the problem with fasting is you can't fast all the time. So therefore, as soon as you quit fasting, Mr. Groucho shows back up, sometimes more aggressively. Now, if you continue over a period of time and a period of seasons, a lot of times you can begin to work those things out by fasting. But those things that show up when you're fasting, that's just who you are. One time I was like in the day 11 of this fast, and they had a problem with the computer up here. So I came to the church, and as soon as I walked through the door, I just said, "Don't talk to me." And I was actually trying to be nice to tell them that I'm really on edge, but it's not how it came out. And everybody backed up and took a step. But, you know, it's obvious that something's going on. But see, that thing, that was part of me. And as ugly as that was, it was still part of me and it had to come out. Fasting's a discipline, but it doesn't touch the places that you can touch through this encountering prayer. Through that prayer of acknowledging who God is and acknowledging every good thing within us. Confession, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a tremendous revelation gift. And the one thing that I suggest, if you learn how to pray in tongues, that's going to transform your life. It fundamentally changes your life because it changes your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It allows you to become much more aware of the Holy Spirit within you. And as you become much more aware of the Holy Spirit within you, it also brings forth the revelation that comes with Him because He knows the mind of the Father more intimately than we can. And He's more than willing to share it with you if you're willing to let Him do it. I can't tell you how many mornings I've woken up and I just understood something I didn't have any idea of the night before. And it always happened immediately after praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, there will be revelation and seasons of revelation that just come forth in your life. Some of the revelations are revelations about the Word. Some of the revelations are revelations about who you are. I had a long season of praying in tongues one time, and then that was the time when I was walking down the stairs, and in between the fourth step and the fifth step, God showed me. He showed me how I interacted with my family. He showed me who I was. He showed me how I carried the dysfunction and how I was re-implementing that dysfunction in my own family. And He showed me the effect it was having on my wife and my children. And it should have been something that I could have seen otherwise. But I didn't. But it was something that from that point forward, I've made an effort not to engage in. Because it was a revelation of myself. All these things are happening through the prayer of tongues. But even that doesn't touch the same place. It can be a preparation, but it doesn't touch the same place that begins to be available to us when we begin to acknowledge Him. When we pray this prayer of acknowledgement, when we pray this prayer of entering into His presence, and entering in and interfacing with Him with an expectancy to interface with Him. There's a greater imprint left on us as we associate with Him. Every person that you've come in contact with has left an imprint on your life. Some are positive, some are not, but they all leave an imprint on your life. And sometimes even the ones that have not been a positive experience can leave you a blessing if you learn how to ask God, what is it that I need to learn here? How can I take this that is happening and see the good out of it, receive a seed out of it? It also will give you a greater understanding of the Word, because as you press in and as you acknowledge Him and acknowledge who He is, there's a greater understanding of the Word that comes forth. Because what you're doing is you're taking the Word itself and it begins to describe where you're going in the Spirit. The Word itself begins to describe what it is that you're doing and what it is that you're about. So therefore, it becomes the thing, the vehicle of access. In the process, there's a greater familiarity that's birthed. Luke 4:18 says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, when I begin to hold that Word and I use it as a point of access, I begin to see the life of God, the Spirit of God coming upon me, not just on Jesus, but upon me. And as I see that, I begin to understand there's a power and authority and dominion that happens when we begin to press into God in this way that's not going to happen any other way. You guys have seen the results of this kind of prayer, because this whole thing that we've taught about grace all came out of a place, not because I was told something by somebody, but because God has been sharing it with me through this kind of prayer. And it all came out of that one verse when we first started, unbeknowingly, I began pursuing God out of Ephesians 1:17. A spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. As I began to pursue this spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, all this about His grace came forward. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. If we'll just pursue that, the understanding of grace was birthed out of that pursuit. Just pressing into that one statement. One verse. We've now studied for months out of one verse. Out of pressing into one verse. Obviously, lots of other verses have come alongside that to implement that. But my prayer every day is to know Him this way. To know grace is to know Him. And as we come and we've been seeking the knowledge, spirit of wisdom and knowledge of God, there's been such an amazing outpouring of grace. If you don't pursue it for yourself, me telling you about it doesn't do much. Our prayers are made effective. When we begin to pray the prayer as we've entered into His presence, as we've come into a more intimate contact with Him, the more intimate our contact with Him, the more effective the prayer gets. And that's something that I discovered early on when I was the first Christian, and I discovered there were certain times when God would just answer prayer. Now I understand why. Because as you come into a more intimate contact with Him, your faith It changes the faith that you say the prayer in. It changes the faith of the environment the prayer is said in. There's such a faith that is stirred, because that's one of the ways that you know that you've truly entered in. Because now you come to a place where everything seems possible. When you're entering in and you're face to face with Jesus, everything in that place seems possible. You know that you're in there because peace begins to enter in, but not only the peace, but faith is stirred. Because peace is like the first level. You come into a place of peace, and that's great. But then you come into a place where all the distractions cease. And for me, that's probably the biggest place, the biggest advantage, because being focused is one of the things that's hard for me to do, because I want to think about everything all the time and go in 10 different directions at the same time. And you can't do that. This place requires that focus. But you can get to a place where the focus becomes natural. The focus becomes natural. Matter of fact, it's very difficult to get distracted by anything once you get to that place. The next step is when the distractions will stop and the faith will burst forth. There's a faith that comes forth because your awareness of everything changes. Matter of fact, I've stepped out of that place and become confused for a few moments as to why didn't the rest of the world change with me? You'll know as you come into that part of it, as you come a little bit deeper, the peace is wonderful, and that's a great place, because then there also will open up a free flow of exchange between you and the Father. There's a free flow of worship that happens there. There's a free flow also of information from Him to you. Colossians says you're baptized into His death and you're raised with His resurrection. If we're trying to pay the price for self, there's no value in that until we let Him pay that price. That's the only way that it happens in our life. Until your soul, that's our mind, will, and emotions, quits trying to do it in its own strength. There's got to be a dying of self in that for the soul as well. Because, see, that's the thing that has to be submitted to the Father's will, ultimately. That's the thing that pleased the Father so much about what Abraham did. When Abraham came to the point of being willing to offer Isaac, he knew that he'd come to the end of self, because no one could do that otherwise. He was totally submitted to the will of the Father in that moment. Fortunately, He doesn't ask us to make that decision in that way. But each of us has our own whatever that place is. Because, see, it is a discipline. There's a part of this, and you don't do it out of law. You don't do it out of religion. But you do it out of a pursuit. So we begin to take and discipline ourselves to follow after God. There's a pursuit. And what you're doing is you're pursuing Him. And as you're pursuing Him, this becomes a natural extension of that. Back when I first started into confession and praying in tongues and stuff, I mean, I would literally take a notebook and write down the prime times that I was going to be praying. I would know when I started the week when and where I was going to be praying. And then during the week, I would actually document what times that I spent. But I wasn't doing it out of a legalism. I was doing it out of checking to see that my flesh, because see, the thing is, nothing about your flesh wants to do those things, wants to submit itself and discipline itself to anything. So I was checking to see where I was. But you can do so much more than you think if you're hungry enough. And part of that is recognizing that as you begin to experience Him, the hunger builds on its own. But there's a certain amount of you having to put forth a little effort that has to happen for that hunger to begin to build. That out of our experience in Christ, one of the things that happens when we begin to enter into His presence is there's a greater passion and a greater awakening of who Christ is in us. There's a greater passion for Him and a greater reverence for Him. Out of that reverence, many good things will flow. Because see, out of a true reverence for God, I won't go out and do something that I know is against His will. I won't go out and do those things that I know displease Him when I have a true reverence, when I have a true passion. Even in the natural, when we have a true passion for our partner, there's a natural pursuit of that partner. It changes how we see and allows us to truly enter into the rest. What this really is, when we begin to enter in, we're doing the Sabbath. Because that's entering into His rest. When the distractions cease, when the pulls of the world cease, that's what happens in that next stage. There's a rest that you've entered into. You're now observing the Sabbath. Actually, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I saw myself on the cross like that. And I felt what He felt. For not an intensity that He would have felt it, but I felt enough of it to get me an understanding, not just of the physical realm, but of the isolation from the Father. See, the physical pain was one thing. The bearing the sin was another thing. But the isolation from the Father for the first time in His life was the big thing. But see, out of all of that, the thing that did impress me the most out of this thing was I also understood the joy that He saw looking down through history for those who would accept Him. Those who would accept what He was offering. Those whose lives would be changed. He saw that. And in that moment, He was looking. He wasn't just bearing those things for this season. He was seeing the joy set forth for an eternity. It changes how you see and how you hear. When you begin to enter in, it's easy to see and understand those who are and those who aren't. There's a difference that you feel. And it's wonderful when you see people begin to enter into it. Because it changes your expectation about what's going to happen. All of us have some kind of a fear about doing anything new associated in the back of our mind. But the reality is, those are all lies of the enemy. The fact that I might have to make an effort, the fact that I might have to do this, He's doing all that so you look at those things instead of looking at the value of what's being brought. We're all creatures of habit. We want to do what's familiar to us. For most of us, we've maybe learned a way of entrance of like, for example, worship to enter into God's presence. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Except that that's not the fullness of God if we only learn one way. When we begin to learn how to enter in by the Word in this way, now you're learning something that can never be taken away from you. You know, David wrote some of the most beautiful Psalms. But those things came out of his interface with God in a whole different place. But we have to overcome that. And sometimes we get conditioned to do things a certain way. One of the things that really helps when you're actually entering in, when you're actually making the effort to enter in, is to change up your routine, even just little things. Some days use music, some days don't. If we get into a habit, we tune out. And what you're trying to do is keep your focus sharp. And when you keep your focus sharp, you begin to respond. You'll find that your access is quicker and more effective. It changes our expectation. It changes what happens around us. When I began to pursue this kind of prayer, that was when we were studying The Blessing is in the Water. LaRue introduced it, and I went to Columbia. But I caught this enough that I wanted to press into this prayer. And as I began to press into that prayer, I began to see, it was amazing, because one gentleman that I was with, I just began to enter in, and I began to enter in into the Lord's presence in that way. And he went into full mode deliverance, just because he was in the proximity. Not because anybody was touching him, saying anything to him, anything. Just because he was in the proximity of somebody who was entering into the Holy of Holies. Somebody who was trying to enter into the very presence of God. So that's why I'm encouraging you, things like that happen as we begin to understand the fullness of the prayer that's available to us. It's not a visual encounter. When we enter in by the Word, we're entering in, our compass is being set by the Word. The way I go about doing this kind of prayer, for me personally, is that I will go and I'll just read the Word in general. I'll read the Word. It doesn't really matter what part you're reading. You just read the Word to begin activating your spirit. And I spend a period of time reading the Word. And then I'll spend a period of time reading a specific word about entering in, or a specific word about grace, or the specific word about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There's a specific word that God begins to generate in your spirit. What I do is I look for those things that are being generated in my spirit that actually I can have an attachment to. Because as I begin to read that specific word, then I begin to enter in, I begin to pray. If you want to have some worship music on, that's great, but something that's not going to distract you. I begin to pray and hold that word and just bring it into just a repetitive cycle. You don't have to have a whole bunch of different scriptures to do this. Your language will develop as you do it. But if you have one or two verses, Lord, I make entrance into the path of life because you make it known to me. I make entrance into this place with you, Lord, as you're sharing with me about the path of life. And see how that begins to move and shift you? As you allow that to come forward, as you allow that heart, part of God, what you're doing is you're engaging your faith into that specific piece of word. The bed of faith was made open by the reading of the word in general. Now we're taking a word in specific and we're beginning to feed on it because, see, he is the bread of life. And when we understand him as the bread of life, there's a feeding that we're doing. And we do that, we feed in it by faith on that word. Look at John 6 real quick. We'll go to verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Right there is an access scripture. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. You know what? It's not about you any longer. It's not about how much you deserve or not deserve this place with God. He says, all that come to me, I will not cast out. It's already been given to him by the Father. And so he's going to honor the Father's wish and make sure that you don't cast out. It's something that he allows you to draw upon him. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. He's given you an access point. He's given you a promise. It's not about how perfect you've been. It's not about how good you've been. There are times that I've been terrible, and I can tell you I can still enter into God. I remember one time, the Lord had spoken to me and gave me a word about a certain contract that I was trying to negotiate. And he gave me a word about how much it was going to cost me. Gave me very specific numbers. And we weren't getting anywhere close to those numbers. I got off the phone. I hung the phone up kind of abruptly and went outside. And I just said, God, you said this was going to happen. Why isn't it happening? And I can't tell you, I went right into his presence in that moment. And in that moment, he just said, not everything's been seen. Be at peace. I walked back inside at peace. The telephone rings within 2 minutes of my being inside. And the guy says, my boss says he's going to give you this, this, and this. And he gave me everything that the Lord had said he was going to give. Saved me like $50,000 over 3 years plus $8,000 up front on the setup and everything else. I mean, it was a sizable chunk of change. But the point was that God brought me in even in the midst of my anger. Even in the midst of not behaving well. He didn't turn me away. He didn't cast me aside. He drew me in. And when he drew me in, he gave me the thing that brought healing to my heart. When he drew me in, he brought me into that place where now I could truly be at rest and truly represent him and his word. The definition of the Sabbath. He's drawn us into that Sabbath. We speak the access scriptures. What I actually do when I begin to study something new, I will make a list. For example, with grace, I begin, or with the Holy Spirit, and I would suggest if you're going to do that, start with the Holy Spirit. Make a list of the scriptures that involve the Holy Spirit. I made a list of the scriptures that I saw that were speaking to me that involved grace. There's lots of them, so that I didn't get them all the first time around. As you make the list, number one, it makes you aware there's a drawing, and then you have something where you can quickly reference. And so after I read, you know, just the word in general, I come back to those access scriptures that I'm working with, and I'll just read those real quick and go down there until my spirit finds something that lights me up. We enter into the place of access. We approach with sincerity and openness. The openness is that no matter what I have done, no matter who or whatever, Lord, whatever it is, I just present it to you. I'm not hiding anything from you anymore, God. If I've been good or I've been bad, I'm bringing it to you. I engage him with my heart in every statement. Every time I speak a word, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I engage it and try to pull out of it with faith everything that I can pull out of it. It may seem repetitious at first, but then it'll begin to take a life on its own. As it begins to take life on, it just opens up. No one will have to tell you that part. Don't give up. Stay focused. Because you have an appointment with God. It's not about spending time. It's about having access and interface. In engaging him in disappointment. As we spoke earlier, you're going to enter into a place of peace. And even in the place of peace, we still want to keep speaking, because as we keep speaking, we stay focused towards the appointment with God. The peace of his presence is wonderful, but we're going into his right hand. As we do so, we're engaging and we're coming into that place of faith, where faith is increased. And we're coming into that place where the distractions and the persuasions of the world drop off. And now you're in a place where you can make your petition known to God. Now you're in a place, not only are you able to make your petition known to him, but you're able to hear his instruction clearly. You're able to receive his input clearly. And as you do so, there's an anointing that happens in you. There's a changing that happens in you. It changes your perception, even of yourself. All of a sudden, now you're willing to engage situations you wouldn't have dreamed of engaging before. You're willing to engage his healing in a way that you couldn't have before because of the fears and everything else that got left outside. See, fear got left outside. The distractions got left outside. The anger got left outside. Now, in this place, I can engage him for who he is really. Religion got left outside. Legalism got left outside. Now I can see who he really is. And who we really are as a result of who he is. It's a time to cherish. You want to cherish your time both by allocation, in other words, meaning by setting aside time that I'm going to enter into this kind of prayer. But also cherish it by focus as I'm in this kind of prayer. Because again, it's an appointment with God. I'll be honest with you. I don't go to him most of the days to get a message for you guys. I go to him to see him. Because if I go to him to see him, the message stuff will take care of itself. But the majority of the time, I go him just to interface with him. Because I'm not here to tell the instructor how to teach me. I'm here to receive what the instructor has to say. When he has something to say, I want to listen and I want to follow through. I want to engage what the instructor has to say. Because see, he is the one who knows the plan for my heart. He's the one who knows the plan for my life. He's the one who knows what it's going to take to get me out of this place and into the next place. Whatever that is. How I step from one place to the next in the Spirit. That's what we're trying to engage. When you're speaking, you're not just speaking out into the atmosphere. You're speaking into the channel of God that's within you. There's a channel where God speaks in your heart. And one of the ways that we've gotten familiar with that in the past is by praying in tongues. Because in praying in tongues, there's an actual place where you can actually register the exchange between yourself and God. When you're not familiar with it, when something's unfamiliar, anything you can do to statically or what they call it, kinetically connect, is another way to help you get into that spot. So there's a reason for those things. When you come into this place, you can take somebody else in there. You can hold the person who's hurt you and offended you most. This is the place where you now you can begin to exchange them and hold them up and say, Lord, love on them. I'm not even capable yet, but love on them. And Lord, as I hold this up to here, he builds his love in you for that person. And then also, he builds a situation around them, a circumstance around them that changes them. I've seen it time and time again. We can hold them up, and all of a sudden, that person who offended you the most becomes someone that you can love on. And that's a remarkable thing. So, speaking to the channel, we're identifying the channel. We're identifying the channel. And so what happens there? Now that means that even when I'm not in that place, as I'm walking through the mall, and all of a sudden I feel the little tap of God on my heart, then I've accessed him. Because of the channel is now open. See, the channel of God stays open within me all the time. As I become more and more familiar with it, the more time that this channel stays open. And so therefore, I can hear his voice to access this other situation, whatever that might be. Whether it's a word of knowledge for that person as they're walking through the mall. A word of wisdom for that person. An act of healing for that person. I mean, lots of people can be very sick and still wander around and look normal. There is a hope that God has given us. And that hope is accessed in this place of entering in by prayer. The prayer of acknowledgement. Hallelujah. Here's a couple of access scriptures for you. Hebrews 10 and 19. Confidence to enter into holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:16, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Ephesians 2:18-19, accessed by one Spirit to the Father, for we are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Ephesians 3:12, we have boldness and confident access by the faith of Him, Christ. As you're looking for access scriptures, the book of John, the book of Ephesians, book of Colossians, they're everywhere. The Psalms, access scriptures are everywhere.